Urban Farmers. I am Jim Cannon.
And I'm Joel Bensley.
Joel and I started the Urban Farmers as a way we could share our experiences as we shift our lives away from our busy urban lifestyle into something more of a self-sufficient and self-sustaining lifestyle. You can follow us on Twitter at Urban Farmers TV. You can jump over to our Facebook and see us at facebook.com/TheUrbanFarmers. Or you can jump over to our website, theurbanfarmers.tv, where you can see our regular posts. There's links to our YouTube page and subscription to our podcast via iTunes or RSS. Joel, when you called me earlier tonight, I thought, well, have we got much to talk about since our last audio diary? And then it sort of dawned on me that, yeah, actually, a whole lot's been going on.
Yeah, there has been a bit going on, Jimmy. We've both been busy in our own rights, doing bits and pieces towards getting some more produce in the ground. And I rolled the machines into my place and got rid of quite a few bits and pieces that wasn't doing much for the table. And at the moment, my yard looks a bit like a construction site, but it's all coming together slowly, and hopefully soon I'll have a good productive veggie patch happening. Mm. And
well, it's the right time to do it, isn't it? Because it's colder now, so the main growing season from the summer period's over, and it kind of worked out timing wise pretty good, I thought.
Yeah, it is a good time, and funnily enough, there's still a reasonable amount being. Where we are in Queensland, we still get reasonably mild winters. So there's still a bit we can put in the ground. But yeah, it's not the intense growing season of the summer. So we can get the patches sort of up and running and sort of in the right zone to be hit the ground running when springtime comes. But in the meantime, we can still get some other stuff underway.
Get the winter veg going, yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, your backyard, obviously, having the machines in there, there's been quite a lot of rework done in there. Timing, I guess, if you're going to do any rework to any productive space during this lull between the summer and the winter is the ideal time. Try and get it done quickly so that you can get some winter veg growing. But if you're going to hinder that cycle, I suppose the winter cycle's the one to hinder rather than the overly productive summer months.
Yeah, no, that's probably a good point. And look, there was no deliberate planning on my part there. It just, that's the way things panned out. And you know, it's good to have something go your way, really.
So, yeah, it's nice every now and then.
It is nice every now and again. And yeah. Funnily enough, with the way things panned out with you, you've just started to get yourself in action.
Yeah, been started to construct the bed. So I was faced with a choice on what to begin first, other than filling more exotic vegetables and things like that around the other garden spaces I have. But for the main production area, you know, what project do I kick off first? Is it the chooks or the garden beds? And, you know, I came to a decision that the chooks can come at any time, and if I want to make any or get any production out of this winter with winter vegetables, then I probably should do the beds first and get them constructed, get the seeds in the ground, get that underway, and then whilst those seeds are developing into plants, that gives me the opportunity to then move on to building the chickens area and go from there.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there, mate, because you know, the chooks, really, you can get them any time of year and they're still going to be laying eggs, whereas, you know, it does take time to get your garden up and running and get the soil in the ground and let it settle and start off some plants.
Yeah,
and
particularly when you've got to build it as well as getting
it. Yeah, that's right. I think you've made the right choice there by doing that.
Mm. So tell me, what are you actually doing in your yard with this? Because the earth moving equipment came in.
Yeah, the earth moving equipment came in. I had, when we bought the house, there was some reasonably established sort of gardens there, and they weren't really well, some of them are really nice, and we love them. And there's a lot of native trees, and they bring in
almost all of it was native, so
pretty much, yeah,
which is good.
Yeah, which I like, and some of them are nicer than others, and so, but there was just too much, and it was we've got quite a big yard, and it's only now that I've cleared what I've cleared that I've realised how big a space we've actually got it there, but we sort of trimmed the garden back a bit, I suppose you could say, and in an effort to get more usable space.
Yeah. Well, let's go from the front to the back, because you kind of got different areas, and you've really hit most of the areas in the yard.
Yeah. So, well, I suppose looking at my place, the driveway runs up the left-hand side, and there was a garden that sort of tapered from about 1,200 wide at the front up to about 3 metres wide at the back.
Yeah.
And I just, it didn't need to be that wide at the back. So I've basically got it back so it's going to just be running parallel to the fence the whole way up.
It's like a 40-metre long teardrop.
Yeah, pretty much. So, well, I've pushed right that back. So we've still got trees along the fence line for a bit of privacy from the neighbour's place. But then we've gained that extra space.
And that's the eastern side of your property.
Yeah, that's right. And look, well, nothing's going to go there except for turf at the moment, but it's just sort of opened up that space in the yard. And then on the other side, on the western boundary of my place, I've got, there was a bit of a dodgy retaining wall and some other bits and pieces. And I've got the machine and we've just contoured the land back to a gentle slope to what it was.
Yep.
And we've planted some trees along that fence line, just small Australian lily pillies, just to give a bit of privacy. And then in from that, there's a really good area there that I'm going to dedicate to a big veggie patch.
That's good. So you're going to be undertaking something similar to what I've done, except you're not going to do raised beds to begin with?
No, not going to do raised beds there. I've just decided to just go for it straight in the ground. Yep. We've got pretty good soil at our place, and I didn't realise how it looks the goods anyway. You know, once we had the machine in there moving bits and pieces around, you sort of see what you're left with there, and it's pretty good. So I'm going to get a load of mushroom compost in from a local mushroom farm, which I've been told by some people in the know that's really good year. I'm going to mix that into the soil and mulch, probably with sugarcane mulch, because since using that I'm pretty big fan of that, and get some veggies in the ground. Down the track, if that goes well, and I'm keeping on top of it and I'm finding I'm looking for more, then I might do some raised beds somewhere else in the backyard. But for now I'm going to give it a go straight in the earth.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I'm doing raised beds for a particular reason, and that's because the underneath the area of which I've chosen is the best spot due to the path of the sun, due to the layout of my land. You know, there's crusher dust and stuff like that. If that wasn't there, I would seriously consider just going straight in the ground and maybe even converting it into more of a permaculture type system.
Yep.
So that it's almost, you know, no dig, just self-sustaining, you know, companion planting and all that sort of stuff. But unfortunately, given my position, I have to go above and fill it with, you know, outside soil brought in. So, yeah, I mean, obviously in other areas of my garden, I can do a bit of companion planting and work on more of a permaculture type system there. But unfortunately for my main production, raised beds is the option. So there's nothing wrong with going in the ground, and, you know, plants have been growing straight out of the ground for longer than humans walk the earth, so.
No, and this is, you know, a valid point, which is what we sort of brought up in the times gone by, is you work to the space you've got, and in your case, you know, because of the situation there, you need to put raised beds in to get it as productive as it can be, and in my situation, you know, I'm trying to save a dollar on the materials and not build it and give it a crack straight in the ground, so.
Yeah, and materials cost is expensive. You know, even just the three beds, you know, I was looking at quite a lot of money there. Justifiable based on the fact that it's infrastructure that will be there for good now, but yeah, absolutely. So given your situation at the back, you've looked at that, but then you had a hedge that was running along the back of the house as well,
which you've taken out. Yes, did. Glad to see the back of it, to be honest. It was pretty established hedge, but it was just, I don't know what it's called. It might be marigold or something, but it was covered in...
It's the yellow one with thorns.
Yeah, it's just riddled with thorns, and So yeah, that's all gone too, which has opened up a really good space along the back of the house. Now, my wife doesn't like it so much now because there's nothing to break up the visibility of the house in the backyard, and I kind of agree with her, but my plan always for there was if we get rid of it to put something back. And what I'm hoping to do is put some posts in the ground. I've just got a bit of timber that came off a job, some old hardwood, and I'm just going to dig them into the ground and run some wire runners through it.
To make a trestle, yeah?
Yeah, to make like trestles for, and hopefully grow like some sort of climbing snow pea or something like that.
Sugar snaps or something.
Yeah, sugar snaps or maybe a mixture of a few different varieties like that along the back there. So it will hopefully grow up, create a green screen at the back, but be producing something, you know, for the table, which really ticks all boxes there. Yeah. So that's the go for the back area there. And that's quite a good...
Yeah. So that would work, wouldn't it? Because instead of a hedge, you'd have a green screen, which means that Dee will be happy with that.
Yeah.
You'll be happy because you're producing vegetables out of it, and the kids will be happy because it's another thing they can run up and down and snack on.
Yeah, it's a win-win, really. And, you know, and I'm not having to tend to a hedge that's covered in thorns, you know.
Yeah.
But no real benefit there. So, no, it's really good.
That's good. And out the front of your place, I suppose you've taken a few plants out the front as well. What's the reasoning there?
Well, we're going to push our fence line forward because for whatever reason, when they originally fenced our block, they set it back, whereas everyone else in the streets gained quite a significant amount that we've lost in the front. And there was quite an established garden in the front there, and we relocated several of the plants onto our fence line.
Okay.
So we've reused them, we haven't just got rid of them, and we're just basically going to turf that front area, and that'll be just an area for the kids to play.
Kids.
So, sort of, we've created a few more areas, like, of grassed area up the side where we've pushed the garden back closer to the fence line and out the front, and then, in turn, that's going to allow me to expand the vegetable area and the growing area out the back without encroaching on our living.
Which is what I was sort of bringing it up for. So really it's enabled you to create a haven for the kids for their general play area at the front.
Yeah.
And it's going to be fenced off for privacy and everything, but they'll have their trampoline and all that. So it's got a little private area at the front where you can sit on the deck and supervise them a lot easier.
Yeah.
And then it opens up a lot of opportunity for yourself out the back for more production.
Yeah, that's right. And look, really, since doing it and seeing how much space is out the back, if all things going well, I mean, and if I wanted to get really serious, I could grow a substantial amount of produce in the backyard because really once, you know, a few things are cleared away and if you have a good layout there, you know, there's good area to work with.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. It's all about planning, I think, too.
Absolutely, yeah. Even a small space planned the right way can be productive and rewarding.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. I must say, the only reason why I was able to put off the chooks before the garden beds is because you've been supplying me with a few eggs here and there.
Yeah, we're getting six every day now without fail, and
touch wood.
You know, yeah, touch wood, and just thoroughly enjoying them. And you know, six eggs a day, you know, it's more than we need, really. So,
but you'll take them anyway.
Absolutely, like none are going to waste. It's nice to give some to your friends and your family, and everyone enjoys them. And you know, I know you're really itching to get your chooks, and you can't yet. You've had to prioritise, and yeah. So I thought we'd sling a few your way, but they're just fantastic. You know, Dee just today made a beautiful frittata for lunch with some fresh eggs,
Well, the last time I got eggs off you, other than this evening, I made those pork belly quiches, which were really, really good. And I think the good thing with that is they actually used up quite a few eggs, four eggs per tart or per quiche. And so even if you're getting a lot, you can do that. And they were really good. But aside from that, I've just been going with something a little bit more simple after that and just poaching them. So
yeah, no, they're definitely good to poach. It just makes it a lot easier to poach than in the past, I never used to really eat poached eggs because...
Well, neither. I never attempted it.
Yeah, whenever you cracked it into the water, it just disappeared into the pan and it just sort of made a mess. Whereas,
turned into a ghoul that you'd see in a Spider-Man film or something.
Yeah, whereas, you know, with a proper good fresh egg, it just it just stays in there and it comes out in beautifully formed and, and I've really been enjoying poached eggs since having the having the chooks in the yard. They're good.
Yeah. So, aside from all that, garden-wise, I've noticed, and we mentioned this a bit, about the enthusiasm that's being seen out there in the public. And I've, since I've been reading the newspaper and things like that, and I've noticed, you know, myself an increasing number of mention of urban farming, etc. Two things in particular. One was I just picked up my local bulletin magazine that's delivered in the area. And there's an article in there about a woman who is in Bellbarrie, and she's actually starting a community garden. Their meeting's this Saturday.
Oh, right.
I probably should have got the details, actually, but I'll put it in the show notes if anyone wants to. If anyone's in the area of the western suburbs of Brisbane and is keen to go down and have a chat and get involved. But, you know, even just on my own doorstep, I'm seeing community gardens pop up.
Yeah, it's quite incredible, really. It's the more we talk about it and talk to friends and family about what we're doing with our Urban Farmers podcast and project that we've got on the go here, the more that other people are telling us about projects they know that are going on and people are interested, it's really exciting. There is a lot of... It really seems to be... Yeah. Like the flavour of the month, so to speak. It's
not just in Australia.
Because, no, it's worldwide.
Yeah, absolutely. And I saw, I was cruising around on Kickstarter, which is a website. If you've got an idea and you need funding for it, you can put together a package to propose your idea to the internet.
Yep.
And if enough people like the idea, they can contribute. And there's varying levels of contribution that they can make, you know, starting $10 by... $5, $10, $100, you know, up to thousands of dollars, and they rewarded certain things by funding these programs. But there's a lot on there to do with community gardens all around the world and things like that, and one of them in particular was a couple of guys who road-tripped around the United States.
Yeah, yeah, you emailed me the link. It was quite interesting.
Yeah, so it just sort of highlighted that there is a real... I can just sense this big movement all over, and it's not just to do with urban farming, it's to do with a whole range of things with people downsizing their needs. So there's also a big movement, hasn't quite picked up over here, I don't think, but I think in the UK and the United States with small housing as well. So people living on, you know, in, 60 square meters of space and things like that. So
wow.
I don't think I could ever do that, but unless that 60 square meters of space was the shack that I lived in on a, you know, 400 acre plot of land. But
you'd handle that then.
Yeah, and I had a 400 square meter shed. I'm pretty sure I could handle that. But yeah, it's just interesting to see that sort of involvement where everyone seems to be moving away from that overindulgent lifestyle that we got so used to in the 20th century. And, you know, we've moved into the 21st century, and although technology's moving at a rapid rate, seems to be coinciding with this idea that, you know, we want to move towards a simpler lifestyle as well. So it's kind of a really strange dynamic, I think, the way the world's going at the moment.
And it is. It's great to see that, you know, that awareness is out there and more people are thinking about it and more people have got it, you know, on their mind that, you know, the world is getting bigger and, well, population-wise, you know, and everyone needs to eat and everyone needs to drink, and, you know, that food's got to come from somewhere. Yeah. And the more that we give that some thought and work out what we can do, you know, when like we said in each episode, we're not pretending that you go out and just stop, going to the supermarket or whatever, but just supplementing little bits here and there with what you can is just such a good idea, and it's really rewarding.
Yeah, absolutely. And it can solve a lot of issues, I think, too. There's a couple of things that are seen to be, that I've noticed as well. There's a few movements. One's the green rooftop movement.
Yeah.
And the idea behind that is that we've got all these skyscrapers and more dense living. Imagine looking at a city from above, and you think if every single one of those roofs of those buildings was covered with gardens, how amazing that would be.
It would be incredible, and particularly in some of these big cities. I mean, really, in Australia, our cities are reasonable size, but they're small in comparison to what we've got overseas.
Yeah, and we're a densely populated country on the perimeter of our country. But these other countries that are a lot more dense, you know, that's something that they can look to. And in the same sense, and this would apply to anybody, whether you're in an Australian city that's got densely populated areas as well as more heavily populated areas around the world, but there's another thing called vertical farming, and it's using hydroponics in layers, upward layers, as opposed to spreading everything out. So making more productive spaces in a vertical environment rather than spreading it out is something that anyone can look at as well.
Well, you know, where there's a will, there's a way, isn't there? There's so many different ways of doing it, you know, and there's a wealth of knowledge out there to look up on the internet to get ideas for restricted space. And it's something that we've been drumming home in everything that every episode that we've had, is that you don't need a massive you know, field to grow stuff. People, even with a balcony, still can produce
absolutely
good things. And another point is, with a small space, if you've only got a really small space, even if you just concentrate on growing one thing, and you might have some other friends with just a small space, and you can all sort of grow something different, and you can swap out amongst yourselves to get a bit of variety. Like there's just a million different ways of doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. So with that, I think puts us on a good note to end with. A few projects that we've got coming up that we'll be filming. I've built two of the beds in my yard. We're actually going to film the last bed coming up in the next couple of weeks, and getting that in just to show some pointers on some basics on building a raised bed. Also, we're going to look at making your own bread as well. So we might do a short clip on that. And I thought something else was good, which highlights to your point with the balcony incident, that growing potatoes, I think, with those bags that I showed you earlier at my place, we might do a little video on that as well.
Yeah, I think we said last episode that we were going to do that, and we just haven't got around to it yet. So yeah, I think it's definitely one that I was very interested in, and we should just get that on film.
Yeah, it will only take a few minutes, so look out for that. Hopefully we'll kick it off with the potato one.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, we'll have that up in, say, a week.
Okay. Get the whips cracking.
Yeah. No worries. Oh, with that, thanks for listening. I hope you continue to follow. So don't forget to jump over to our website once again. That's theurbanfarmers.tv. It's got all our contact details. Or if you're more of a Twitter follower, you can follow us at urbanfarmers.tv. Thanks for listening.
Catch you next time.